Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manum Api Shachiputra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagramurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I said I'd finished my series of talks on the name Tirthaka, he who makes tirthas, but Nantosti Mamadivyanam Vibhutinam Parantapa. There's no end to the glories of Krishna. Actually, any subject, if we investigate, we'll find there's always more to be said, more to be found out about it. We have experts in various topics. An expert means someone who knows more than others and knows how to practically utilize that knowledge. It doesn't mean someone who knows everything. Krishna knows everything. That's why he's Krishna. We're not Krishna. We're part and parcel of Krishna. We know something. Very little. So the topic of Tirtha, some more thoughts I'll just bring out, Krishna willing. It may cross or overlap on some topics that I already discussed. No harm. Tirtha means a medium for crossing, particularly Taraha e Bhava Sindure. Well, I definitely said that before. Crossing over this ocean of becoming, the ocean, bhava particularly means coming into being. In other words, the ocean of birth and death. But in one sense, we're crossing at every moment. We're always crossing. We change from one situation to another, maybe very slight. We may be sleeping and then we're breathing in and we're breathing out. So the situation is always changing. Even we don't notice it. Things are always changing. And in each moment we're crossing over a set of, in human form of life and in any form of life, we're crossing over certain karmic reactions, and entering into others. And it may be a segue. In other words, it may not be a sudden change. It may be just like in music, the term actually comes from music, where the music gradually changes into another mode. So a change is always going on. Crossing, Tirtha means the crossing from death to life, from darkness to light. Tamasima Jyotir Gamaya. Crossing is always going on, but there are some particularly significant crossings that we are just sitting here and breathing. That's one kind of crossing, because we are using up karmic reactions, and we're also entering into new ones. Even if we just sit and breathe, we're entering into new karmic reactions. We may, if we think, well, I'll just do nothing, well, then we become that may be irresponsible, then we become responsible for having not done what we should have done. There are crimes of commission and crimes of omission. Crime or commission means you do something which you shouldn't do. Like getting a hammer and smashing someone's cars to pieces, generally speaking. There may be grounds in which that is legal and allowable. And crime of omission, parking your car on a slope and not putting the handbrake, not putting the car in neutral, and what happens? The car rolls down the hill and causes some damage, to may injure someone. So that's, you didn't do something wrong, but you failed to do something you should have done. You failed to act according to what is required for safety. So all this is covered in the Vedic knowledge, in the Dharma Shastras, the rules for society. And just like in Ayurveda, there's a whole science to be learned, but it's to be applied to the particular situation of the individual. It's not that everyone's sickness is exactly the same. Even if there are two people with the same strain of influenza, it may not be treated in exactly the same way, depending on various factors, the age and of the patient and the severity of the disease and so on. So in law also, it's to be applied according to the situation. And that's understood in systems of law throughout the world, just like generally a first-time offender is granted some lenience in comparison to a repeat offender. So the crossing, we're always crossing, doing things, not doing things. We're always in motion. The jiva by nature is achala, has his own fixed nature. But due to identifying with a situation that he's been placed in within the material nature, due to identifying with that, then he feels himself to be crossing from one situation to another. And this is all overseen by Krishna. Maya dhakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Krishna oversees nature, bringing into being moving and non-moving beings. And then, he oversees again. Upadrashta. He's upadrashtanumantacha. The jivas within this material world sees various situations, and Krishna, in a sense, following the jiva as Paramatma, he doesn't dictate to the jiva. In one sense he does, but there's free will also for the jiva. He dictates, we get a certain kind of body and then we become conditioned by the parameters that that body and the mentality that goes with it dictate. But we have some free will also. Upadrash, Krishna oversees and permits, Anumanta. So in this way we're always crossing, but significant crossings, there are some significant crossings. Death, that's a significant change from one situation to another. We may make a significant change. I was working as a data analyst and then I became a gangster. Well, it'd be better to go around the other way, wouldn't it? Anyway, just for the sake of an example. That I got fed up of my boring job, so I decided to do something more exciting. So there's a significant change, and it may make a significant change that one ends up in prison or shot dead by rival gangsters or the police. So one may make significant changes in life, but one significant change that we all have to undergo is death. And it's significant because we are yanked out of the situation that we identify with, which is extremely disconcerting, and we don't know where we're going to. Of course, if one has knowledge, then he can have a good idea of where he's going to, or even where others are going to. Knowledge that we learn from Bhagavad Gita. There's a general idea in Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, Jainism, maybe some other isms, that we leave one body and go to another, although Buddhism would define it somewhat differently. So it's generally understood, but who goes where? How does it work? Utkramantam stitangva pi punjanam vagunan vitam vimudhan nanu paschanti paschanti jnana chakshusha. One who has knowledge, who has studied Vedic knowledge, he knows how this process works. And generally speaking, we can say urdvang gachanti sattvasta. Those who act in the mode of goodness, they should go up. Madhye tishtanti rajasaha. Those who are in the mode of passion, they will remain in the middle part of the existence. And jaganya guna vrittisto adho gachanti tamasaha. Those who act abominably get an abominable situation in Tamagun, which is the vast majority, the vast majority of living beings. Rajaguna, one has to be a human to have the opportunity to choose what to do, what not to do, even in Rajaguna. Of course, it's said that the lions are in Rajaguna, the monkeys are in Tamaguna, the cows are in Sattvaguna. But basically, all subhuman species are in Tamaguna. And some have a marked mixture of sattva-guna, rajaguna, tamaguna. But the lower species, in terms of numbers, they far outnumber the humans. That means almost everyone is in tamaguna. That means they don't make the endeavor. Tamasima jyotir gamaya. They don't make the endeavor to come from the darkness to the light. In Bhagavatam it's stated that if a brahmana doesn't endeavor to cross over, if he doesn't endeavor for liberation, he's punishable for that. It's to be a karma kandiya brahmana without coming to Vedanta, if one is stuck on the Vedas, if one is Vedavadarata, attached to the parts of the Vedas which recommend karma manam swargatim, swargagatim, that fulfilling one's, being full of desire for going to, considering the heavenly planets, the goal of life. They may think they're getting rewarded, and they may go, but they're punishable, actually, for not endeavoring to go up and out of this material world. And in the heavenly planets, there's also, there is swarga, swarga lokam vishalam, the happiness in the heavenly planets is vast, but there's misery, people know, I'll have to fall down. And of course it's not guaranteed, even if one acts very piously, that one will go up. He may go down also. He may have a misunderstanding of what piety is, just like the brahmana who vowed never to tell a lie and went to hell for not telling a lie in a situation where he should have done. So it's all quite complex. Gahana karmano gatihi. It's all very difficult to understand all of this. Ashvatam enam suviruramulam asanga shastrena drudena chitva. Where's the beginning of the banyan tree? You see an old banyan tree with so many roots. Where's the beginning? Where's the beginning? It just don't bother. Just get your, cut it, detach, become detached, cut this attachment to the material world. So exactly what happens after death, we don't know. But it is, we know what happens at death, mrityu sarvaharashchaham. Krishna takes away everything that we have accumulated, gross and subtle. Krishna is a tirtha in the form of death. He crosses us over from one existence. Everything gross that we have accumulated, all the designations that we have accumulated, the misconceptions that we have accumulated. One may be a great philosopher with so many. Great philosopher means he has a sophisticated set of misconceptions, unless he is a real philosopher. He accepts Krishna to Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's taken away. Big, big philosopher. And next life he becomes a mouse, for instance. And his philosophy is, where is cheese? Or where is grains? In the Western world, mice are known for being fond of cheese. Cheese, the English word, cheese. Which you don't even, I don't think there's even a word for it in Tamil. In North India they say paneer, but it's not exactly cheese as you get in the Western countries. So anyway, the mouse, he gets a new set. But there is a continuation. Because the general conception is carried, what is Shariram Yadavabnoti? What is the next line? Yad chap yud kramatishvaraha grihit vaitani sangyati vayon. Vayo, I always get mixed up. Vayo navam. It's vayo gandhanivasayat. Yeah, I get mixed up with the other verse. We carry our conception, especially from life to life, and after going through the lower births, which may take a very long time, very, 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 if you want, you can take those verys and you can repeat it on the film when you make the recording and do it for 10 minutes or so. Very long time. Very to the power of almost infinity. Infinity minus one. What's that? Infinity. Whoops. Anyway, it's a long time. And then we get a human birth, and then we continue with the same kind of disposition that we had in the previous life. So it's a continuation. It's not a complete crossing, but it's a crossing from one situation. And then again, birth. Mrityu sarvaharaschaham udbhavascha bhavishyatam. And again, we get born again. Die, and then being born is a big affair also. Crossing. These are all, in every human culture in the world, it's an occasion, maybe not so much in our hospitalized, sanitized, sterilized, impersonal culture of the modern world, but otherwise there are big arrangements for death in every culture, for birth, not just physical arrangements, but religious arrangements. There are rituals to be performed, prayers or mantras to be chanted. It's a big thing. So birth, it goes on. Grishishnu, Prabhavishnu, Krishna devours and develops. Everything is destroyed by Krishna. Everything is brought into being by Krishna. And again, bhudva, bhudva, praliyate. Come again and again. What to speak of individual beings, the whole universe comes into being again and again and is destroyed again and again. So these are major crossings. They seem to be major crossings, but for one, Pashyanti Jnana Chakshusha, for one who has the eye of knowledge, he knows that death is not such a big thing as we make it out to be, because we consider this body to be all in all, because we identify with this body and the designations that go with it. We put so much emphasis on death, but someone who's in knowledge knows that actually there's no death. It's just going on to, it's crossing to another situation, that's all. But it is a big thing in the human form of life because yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tyajante kalevarang tang tame vaiti kauntaya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. One gets a future according to one's consciousness at the time of death. And particularly, one can be liberated from this world. It's the test, the ultimate test in human life. Shadan kara, bhajan kara, marte janle hoy. Srila Prabhupada used to quote a Bengali saying that one's, how much one has done sadhana and bhajan, that will be seen at the time of death. That will be understood. So human life, the death, is a major crossing because that sets the trajectory for future lives. And therefore, human life is it's a kind of theater in itself, human life, because We are preparing ourselves for our future. Most people don't even know that. There's so much in ignorance. So death is not such a big thing. Asochanan vasochastu. Therefore, Krishna says, Asochanan vasochastong pragyavadang shabashasi. Gatasun agutasung chananu shochanti panditaha. One who is actually learned doesn't lament for those who are living, those who are dying, those who have died, because in one sense, no one dies. Everyone dies and no one dies. That's a contradictory statement. Illogical, is it not? Everyone dies, no one dies. Everyone dies means we all have to give up the bodies that we presently have. Basic logic is often demonstrated by this proposition. Every man is mortal, Socrates is a man, therefore Socrates is mortal. Of course, it's not proven that every man is immortal. If you want to take the inductive method, if we want to say, well, maybe I'll live forever. Maybe someone will live forever. Just the fact that we haven't ever seen anyone who's done that doesn't mean it couldn't happen in future. This is the kind of absurdities we get into if we're absurd. And there are philosophers who come up with such absurdities, not Vedic philosophers. Otherwise, we know everyone has to die. So I have to die. We see it all around us. But Ahani ahani bhutani gacchanteha yamalayam sheshas tavara icchanti kimascharya matavparam. We act and think as if we won't die. I have got all the time in the world to do whatever I like. Someone else, he died, someone else died. Now with this coronavirus pandemic, people are more afraid of death than they used to be. But anyway, whether you're afraid of it, whether you boldly declare, I'm not afraid of death, everyone has to die. But no one dies. Everyone has to die, but no one dies. Because death is just an illusion, because we're not the body. The one who knows he's not the body, he doesn't die anymore. But still, that body has to die. But he doesn't die. Everyone dies in as much as we identify with the body. But no one dies because we are not the body. But the real tirtha, the real crossing, is not going to another body, but going to a body where we won't die again. And we just said that, well, every man is mortal. Yeah, but come to immortality. Shrinvantu vishve amritasya putraha. We should hear about our situation. We are meant for immortality. We are meant for that. Otherwise, we have to suffer in this world. There's no eternal hell as imagined in Abrahamic religions. But it's a pretty long time. The hellish punishments are described in Shastra. And they're pretty hellish. They really are hellish. not fun for sure. But then we're taking birth in the lower species. That's also hellish. That's a hellish situation. We look in the country and we see nice rivers, winds blowing, the birds are singing. But it's actually a hellish situation. The living beings, a tree body, now is mango season. So the mango is a pious tree. But basically it's an impious situation to be a tree at all, unless you're a tree in Vrindavan, but just in this material world. To be a tree is a punishment. Then if one has done some piety, then can become a mango tree rather than a thorn tree. And if one is fortunate, then Rasik Shekhar Prabhu will come and pick the mangoes and make some chutney and offer it to Gaur-Nitai. We have a fortunate mango tree out the back there. And we'll hear the chanting of the devotees. So that's very good fun. There we go. Tirtha, Krishna's arranging. Devotee Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went through the Jarikanda forest and liberated all the living beings by chanting the holy names, just by his presence. They all became liberated. And that was seen in it wasn't just some theory, but it was seen that the tigers and the deer they became friendly and danced together into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan and were kissing each other even. Otherwise, death, no wonder people are afraid. They don't know where they're going, but they have an intuition that it's not going to be good. And it's not good. And even if we go up, which hardly anyone in this world at this time goes up, to the heavenly worlds, but that's also not good. That's bad in another way. That's an illusion. The illusion that is good is maybe more dangerous than the understanding that I'm in a bad situation. By good karma, one gets high birth, the opportunity to become very learned, money, wealth, these are symptoms of high birth. But they can be obstructions to Krishna consciousness. Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Dinere adhik daya kare bhagavan kulin pandit dhani bara abhiman. By pious activities, one gets birth in high family. One has good intelligence, one has wealth, and then he becomes proud, then he makes offenses, then he goes to hell. So like this, the cycle goes on. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, one who is very lowly from the societal viewpoint, they're more likely to be favored by Krishna, because at least they can understand, they can maybe be more likely to be humble and introspective and try to improve themselves by calling out for Krishna's mercy. A proud person doesn't call out for Krishna's mercy. They feel they don't need Krishna's mercy. Ardhyo bijanava nasmi konyosti sadrishang maya. The demoniac mentality. You just see, I did it all by myself. I'm rich, I'm powerful, all by myself. And those foolish people, they believe in God. I don't need to believe in God. I already, Ishvaroham, I'm already God myself. They're talking about being very powerful. I'm already very powerful. This is the way they think. A human birth, that's another kind of crossing, maybe from the lower species, maybe from higher situation, heavenly planets. One doesn't come directly from the heavenly planets to the human birth. One has to enter grass or grains, enters the rainfall in grass or grains, and then that can gradually progress to the human life. But in human life, the important crossing is the second birth. Janmana jayate shudra. The first birth is by semen of the father, the child, the jiva falls from the heavenly planets, enters the rain, enters the grass and the grain, which is eaten by a man, all under the direction of Krishna. Karmana daivane trena jantur deho papatteye. It's not going on by chance. It may seem like that, but it's going on according to each individual's karmic reactions and according to the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one is placed within that semen, and then that enters the ovum of the female husband and wife in civilized society. And then that develops and a child is born, but by birth, the child that is born, although has the potential to be better if he's born in a high family, especially, but is on the level of a Shudra. Shochati iti Shudra. Who laments is a Shudra. So the child has no development, even if he's born in a very high Brahmin family, has no developed consciousness, no developed intelligence. And the most prominent feature of a child, in many if not most cases, parents will know better, is their crying. Always crying, always upset, always wants something. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example of the child, so much misery in child, in babyhood. It may be that the child is being bitten by an ant, and child cries in pain, and the mother picks up the child and wants to help the child, but she doesn't understand that the child is being bitten by an ant. How can she know? She thinks, oh, the baby is hungry. She tries to feed the child, but that's not what the child needs at that particular time. So, the real birth is by Vedic knowledge. Sanskarad bhavet dvija, one gets the second birth. But even on the second birth, following the same analogy, one is still like a baby. Simply by getting the ceremony of initiation, upanayanam, or being invested with the sacred thread, one is not intrinsically more developed than a child, than a Shudra. But it means that one has the opportunity now to study and discipline, be disciplined. Human life means discipline. Animals can also be disciplined. Some animals, not all animals. To some extent, but they cannot be enlightened by higher knowledge. There are some instances in Shastra, but they are few and far between. The general norm is that human life is suitable for God realization, not other forms of life. So the second birth, in which one has the opportunity to accept the discipline given by a guru. Guru means who accepts shishya. One who shishya means one who accepts discipline and who gives knowledge. So by that knowledge, Veda partet bhavet vipra, then one is different. One's made a crossing from being a crying baby or an ignorant fool to being knowledgeable. One has learned the Vedas. But still, brahma janati iti brahmana. One has to know what is Brahman. And that's not simply a matter of knowing. One can know and not know. Here's another contradiction. One can know what is Brahman. Shvetaketu, after studying, was very proud. He thought he'd known. He thought he knew so many things, but he didn't know Brahman, that which pervades everything, which is the substratum of everything. So his father taught him that. But did he know it? Knowing then is a matter of realization. So that realization, that is a gift from Krishna. In this way, Krishna is Tirthaka. Because that realization of Brahman, knowing Brahman, there are symptoms of a person who knows Brahman, who is Brahma-bhuta. Brahma-bhuta prasannātmā na śocati na kāṅkṣati. Summarizing the symptoms of a person who knows what is Brahman. It's not a matter of studying and speaking some mantras from Shastra. But actual realization is apparent in one's activities. One neither laments nor hankers for anything. So that's a gift from Krishna. Krishna in this way is Tirthaka. And who is qualified for that realization? Amanitvam, Adhammitvam, the beginning. There are so many qualifications required. Tattva-jñāna-artha-dārśanam. One should be humble. One should be respectful. One should be serious to understand what is that knowledge. Ācārya-upāsanam. One should worship the ācārya. There are so many prerequisites, so many qualifications required to get that realization, which is awarded by Krishna, who is therefore Tirthaka. And it may be that someone's trying to follow all this and he still doesn't get it. There may be many who are trying to be Brahman realized and may even consider themselves or be considered by others Brahman realized. But they don't realize Krishna. That's a gift from Krishna, generally bestowed by his devotees. Externally, the devotees, they are tirthas. They help one cross over this material world. Krishna, within the heart, Chaitya Guru, and externally as Acharya Vapusha, in the form of an acharya, Krishna helps people to get the realization that I am simply meant for serving Krishna. Ami Siddha Krishna Das. Ekota Bhule. Mayar Nafar Hoya Chirodin Bhule. Forgetting that I am meant to be the perfect devotee of Krishna, servant of Krishna. I've simply wandered in this material world since time immemorial. So that's Krishna's mercy. that the realization, I'm supposed to serve Krishna, that mercy comes from Krishna. Bhaktas tu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayati. By the association of devotees, one gets the clue of devotional service. And then bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya, by following the process given by the devotees, then one, the process of following the rules and regulations of devotional service, then the bhakti flourishes within the heart. One actually comes to the level of loving Krishna. And then everything serves as a tirtha. Everything serves as a realization of Krishna. Everything. We hear of the udipanas. They're described, the sources of inspiration for remembering Krishna or loving Krishna. Krishna's flute, Krishna's land, Krishna's form. But for a devotee, tarvara jangam deke na deke tar murti, sarvatra hai ta ishta deva shvurti. Devotee sees Krishna, everything becomes an inspiration for him to remember Krishna and serve Krishna. That is Krishna's mercy, if we can come to that level. Just like for the materialist, everything he sees, touches, smells, hears, tastes, thinks about, it all becomes an inspiration for him to enter further and further into the darkness of hell by desiring sense gratification. So for a devotee, everything inspires him to serve Krishna, to remember Krishna. That fortunate stage that is attainable by the mercy of Krishna. And even to come to that level, there may be crossing. Human life is meant for crossing. It may not be all at once, but we can make significant steps toward Krishna. We see in many cases when we hear the narrations of devotees how they came to Krishna consciousness. In this, they were not in Krishna consciousness in this lifetime. In many cases, in all cases, we can see the hand of Krishna. Krishna arranges certain circumstances whereby they come in contact with devotees, or they get a book describing about Krishna, or something happens that their dreams become shattered. It's not that everyone whose dream is shattered becomes a devotee. Some commit suicide. Some vitaraga bhayakrodha. Some become angry and atheistic. Some try to chase after that which they no longer can, are in reach of attaining. There are different responses. But Krishna makes arrangements for his devotees to come to him so that they may make decisions along the path. Oh, I met a devotee. And then this often happens, actually. We find people, they meet devotees, they like devotees, they join in the chanting in the temple, and they go home, and they don't want to join the devotees. But then they feel, oh, no, I don't want to eat meat. Where did that come from? No, I don't want to eat meat. And then I eat meat, and then I vomit. How did that happen? It's Krishna's mercy. By association with devotees. We don't know what's going on. If people knew the risk they were taking by meeting devotees, many of them, they also think, I'm not going to go and meet those devotees, I'm going to avoid them. Because if I go close to them, I may end up being like one of them. Many devotees explain that. that they deliberately avoid the devotees because they think if I go close to them, I'll be too much attracted and then I'll become one of them. I don't want to be like that, but Krishna gets them anyway. It may take a few extra years. But just that decision, I'll stop eating meat. That's a tirtha, it's a crossing, isn't it? One's made a change in one's life. Krishna gives that inspiration, one way or the other. And that, of course, simply being a vegetarian doesn't make one a lover of Krishna or even inclined to devotional service. But we see in the case of many, many devotees that it's when retrospectively they see that it's a step on their way to becoming Krishna conscious. And it's much easier, for instance, to appreciate Krishna's mercy in the form of food, Krishna prasadam. If one is addicted to a meat diet, one is less likely to appreciate prasad and even the whole understanding of Krishna consciousness, because stopping meat eating in and of itself doesn't give rise to devotional service, but eating meat is a major block in even beginning to understand devotional service. Generally, it's not ultimately there's no block. One can be a hunter, a very cruel hunter. Narad Muni delivered a hunter. But generally speaking, there's some level. If you're already part of the way up the mountain, it's easier to climb to the top. Or if we are in an advantageous position, if there's a inclined face of the mountain and they have to climb up, very difficult. But if we find some one face of the mountain where it's only 30 degrees angle, and what's that called? Inverse, obverse. It's easy. You can just walk up. But then it's not mountain climbing, is it? I never thought. Mount Snowdon in Wales, the highest mountain in England and Wales. I walked across it once, like so many people. You can just walk. Because in England, what they call a mountain is probably smaller than the hills around Salem, which no one goes, oh, look at those big mountains, because there are so many all over. In many parts of India, no one gets excited about them. So the decision, Krishna inspires us within the heart. He's a tirtha in that way. He's helping us to cross. I want to be a devotee. Make that decision. He inspires us in that way. So in this way, Krishna acts as Tirthaka. Death, I started off speaking about death. Cremation, funeral ceremonies. It's a good time to speak transcendental knowledge. It's maybe one occasion where people who are generally materialistic won't object. If you go to a ceremony where the body is burned, I don't know what they do here in India when the body is burned, if they have any speech or something like that, but in the Western world, there's a memorial service and all the people come together, all the relatives come together, and they all say, so-and-so was such a wonderful person, and so on. And in such a place, if a devotee speaks, Najayate, Mriyate, Va, Kadachin, actually no one dies, we're all eternal, it will be appreciated. because people are just in that. Generally, unless the people are really demoniac, it will be appreciated. So all these rites of passage, it's called. Rites of passage is called in English, and the equivalent in Sanskrit terminology is sangskaras. They're times when devotees can intervene and speak something. Sometimes I've attended marriage ceremonies. Not the marriage, the reception. A few times. Once. Maybe. I think Nanda Kumar's marriage ceremony. So I went and I spoke and I said that marriage is not meant simply for, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I said it has a higher purpose, and it was appreciated. So it's a good opportunity, because it's a big change between being alive and dead. It's a big change between being married and unmarried. It's a big change between having no child and having especially the first child. It's a big change. So there are rites of passage in religious cultures. There are ceremonies to be performed, invoking the blessings of God. So it's a good time for devotees to speak at that time. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyo vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo.
So it is Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj ki.
One more thing to say. You can, every day is a new beginning. I believe that's an English saying. So whatever nonsense we've done, we can make a fresh start every day. Or if we've done something bad that we shouldn't have done, that's the good thing in Krishna consciousness. We can always make a fresh start. Of course, we may have to suffer for that. We may be punished, put in jail, or whatever. But actually, every moment, whenever we decide, now I want to surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna. So you can either leave that at the end or just dub it in somewhere as you like. That's your job. You can call that all kinds of tirthas. Tirthas, all kinds of tirthas. All kinds of tirthas. Everywhere. Well, just all kinds of tears. Don't make it too long. You're going to say something?